org worldwide.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings, welcome, Technology Bites.
Yay, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Rubos.
Perfect timing.
Lee had to tend to some parking lot business.
Getting into a parking lot altercation.
Did you get enough for everyone?
I feel angsty.
Puff, puff, pass.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. We got Barrett back. He just flew
Yay.
In.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Boy, is my mustache tired.
I had some turbulence, but...
Yeah, I could, tell. I could tell about the curl in your mustache.
Yeah, you definitely had some turbulence.
You got your chemtrails going on.
It's been coming up a lot lately. That wasn't me. Although, if you feel compelled to come to the Geek Gathering, that's why.
Oh, yeah? Are you going to make it?
Yeah, I'll make it.
Are you going to crash and burn?
Sleeping.
I'm going to make it. I've got giveaways, too.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Sweet.
Lee's going to be
I'm going to show up then.
What time is it right now, Barrett?
It's 8:04-ish.
For you.
Time. Oh, for me? Add 7 hours to that. And then I got up at around 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Germany time. So, which would have been like...
Octolieber!
About 24 hours ago, yeah. Pushing 24 hours or so.
It usually takes a good 24 hours of effort to get home.
It really does.
Or are you still cycling?
I laid down for about 15 minutes, which was a mistake. That was Barrett's folly. That was just enough to really mess me up, kind of is what happened there. But I've got had some caffeine pre-show, so it should kick in.
You are more than excused if you had chosen not to come, but now you have to stay.
Now I got
to
stay.
Das ist nicht dein Technology Python.
Technology Essen.
Ooh, the Germans. Don't let the Germans.
Well, we did that, and then Germany, and then Austria, Liechtenstein, Sweden and then Italy mostly.
Sweden, huh?
I drove from Germany to Italy, and there are a number of countries you go through. Mountains got snowed on. It was kind of fun.
You saw Snowden?
Yeah, I saw Snowden.
Nice. Very cool.
Well, awesome. We're glad you're back, though.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, and congrats on the fun drive.
Thank you. We couldn't have done it without you. No, wait. We couldn't have done it with you, apparently. No, I'm sure it was just a happy coincidence that we made our goal on the night that you weren't here. Honestly, I thought you were going to be gone today. I mean, you posted a picture from Germany this morning.
That's where I was. Yeah.
Facebook has got me all out of whack. All right. Well, visit us online at geekradio.com if you want to learn more about the show, if there's not enough information in your brain already to tell you what's going on here.
My brain's full.
We can fix that.
I could make a small mind joke out of that somewhere. All right, so yeah, visit on. Hi, Fish and I.
Play ball.
Perfect show.
Visit us online at geekradio.com. You can also hang out in IRC, irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
That is the internet relay chats, irc.cuckoo.com, and the channel Tech Bites. So it's the show within a show. You never know what's going to go on there. We monitor it only very loosely. So, you know, you have to...
Just like this show.
So, if you want to correct us, just shout at your radio. That works best.
Yes.
Or shout. Call.
Shout.
Shout. No, that would work. Shouting at the radio would work better.
Manning phones.
Geek yells at cloud. Clown. All right, so yeah, we got that going for us. And, of course, if you want to use the contact form at geekradio.com to send us a message, we may or may not be able to take it on the air, but sometimes, every once in a while, somebody will get on the webpage and send us a note, and it'll be interesting. So you can try. It will respond to you much better than Groovehouse will respond to the phone.
What?
We have to. I mean, you have to consider the. I don't know. What do you?
It's more of a ceremonial position at this
point.
It's anti-analog.
It's like
football.
The tomb of the unknown caller.
He's kind of like the queen of technology bites.
Really.
Gunpowder gelatin.
It's more of a ceremonial
dynamite
position.
Dynamite with a laser beam.
That's how he answers the phone.
The queenly wave.
Just wave at it.
So Groovehouse, you know, found his way to Technology Bites by volunteering to answer the phones, and then after many years of not getting promoted, just decided to stop answering the phone.
I would say he's calling it in, but he's not even picking up the phone.
Well, we stopped taking calls, so there's no reason to answer the phone.
Mostly because you stopped answering the phone.
It's not my fault.
We were stonewalled. I think you underestimate your position or the role you played in the changing of the format. So if you're upset,
I can still work it.
He can still work it. He's still got it going. He's got it going. Phone on. No, we're glad that Groovehouse is here, just in case.
Just in case, because if Flicted's not here, then one of you guys.
That's true. Groovehouse
step
is
in
a,
over here.
Is a great,
I'm a backup engineer.
He's our BCDR plan.
Well, we're glad he's here. We're glad you tuned in. So we're gonna have a great show tonight. I think we do have a geek gathering coming up on Friday. We hope that if you're so inclined, you'll come out and join us. Lee will be there with giveaways.
The chemtrails have worked.
Free rubber rafts for the kiddies.
Yes.
I don't think it'll be flooding. Although some of those iPhone cases could double as a life preserver.
Yeah, I mean,
do we have any more hand crank radios?
All right. Well, you know, before we go to the news, Houston was in the national news for three stories today.
All of them good, right?
Oh, so awesome. We're so great.
Oh.
Well, you know, we were in the national news with the shooting, which was like down the road from my house the other day. But today, there was the bus crash.
What?
The bus crash, the flooding, and the house that blew up.
What flooding?
The ongoing flooding.
Did the house blow up because the bus crashed into
the
it?
Bus?
It would have been
what?
Good if the water rose, the gas leaked, the house blew up because the bus crashed into it.
That'd have been perfect.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, you're.
Oh, wow, you're pretty.
You're kind of dark.
Look, man, if the news is going to be bad, it should at least be bad and cool.
So what happened with the bus?
Well, apparently, crashed. A pickup truck ran a stop sign and hit this bus and ran it off the road. And
like a metro bus?
A
or
metro
a
bus. Pat- a metro bus.
All right, well, it's
oh, not a PCI bus.
It's not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's not
Thanks,
funny
Jay.
Anymore.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the grim news got too grim.
It's on a city street, though, right?
It's on a freeway.
Oh, it was on the freeway. So it was a like a commuter bus.
What about this concept are you not grasping here?
Bus.
I'm just trying to figure out
exactly
what, happened.
What kind of bus it
you
was.
You have a computer? Google it. Bus crash Houston.
Yeah, but I'm listening Google to this radio show where they talk about stuff, so
all right,
I thought...
So a metro bus. I mean, it may not have been on the highway. It may have been on the entrance to a highway because I guess the truck ran a stop sign, so they don't have stop signs on the freeway.
Unless we're in Austin.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it was pretty bad because everyone on the bus was injured. And in fact, one person was critically injured and a number of other people had to go to the hospital. So
touching.
Fares are going up.
That's great. You know, my wife was telling me some grim news, too. There was one of the Killing Fields related serial killers has confessed to, like, because the guy's been in jail for like 30 years and is...
And hasn't gotten enough attention lately.
On his deathbed and decided to go ahead and just, like, confess, dump out, like, the 30 additional bodies that he killed. So that's, like, something. One more thing in the news that we didn't get to hear about because of Trump-related stuff.
Is that the Texas Killing Fields?
Yes, right down by... Pretty much right next to my house.
Yeah, it's always fun to be international and have all these gun things go off in a country that's very anti-gun. And then they want to, like, ask you specifically why you have guns. It's like, well...
Well, of course,
they have horses and trucks too.
No,
it's
of
not
course,
just guns.
Of course, the coverage of the floods that are in and around Houston right now, the most prominent video footage they have is of a house or the water has come up most of the way to the house, and the entire area surrounding the house is filled with water, and the horses are up on the front porch of the house. So,
as one does,
you know, Texas,
Wilbur,
you know, Wilbur, during the not the Galveston. Hurricane of 1900, but the one that hit Indianola like 8-10 years earlier. It actually hit Indianola, but I know one of them, I was reading about it, and they said that back then when they built the houses, like they'd have 2-story houses, but they weren't, there was no, of course, foundation. They were pier and beam built, but they weren't attached to the piers, right? They just put the piers in and then built the house on top of it. So the thing is, when these large amounts of water come rushing in from the ocean, they will pick up the house, and they will all float around and slam into each other. So what the people did...
Destruction Derby!
So what the people did is they took their horses and brought them into the first floor of the house to add weight to it, and then the people got on the second, and then at some point they either killed the horses or the rising water drowned the horses... And then the water kept coming, and it picked up the house.
This got way.
The show got off on a really, really dark note here.
Maybe the horses just walked upstairs. That's an option too.
Maybe the horse said, "I've done my job. Can I have a treat?" And they've invited them upstairs and fed them apples.
There you go.
Then the next hurricane, they had the horses on the first floor, and then the cattle on the second floor, and the people ended up on the roof, and the house still washed.
No, that's why.
Yeah, that did happen.
Actually, this may be why there are more cattle ranchers than horse ranchers in Texas, because all the horse ranchers lost their horse. The cows did their job. But the horse ranchers floated away anyway and drowned with their house full of dead horses.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
and thus that's the origin of the Houston ban.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.
Thanks, Jay Harvey.
All right, well, let's move on to less grim news. Although I suspect that the Technology Bites Info Shot is going to be all about defunct Kickstarters. Were you going to say something, Barrett?
No, I haven't read Pete's. I didn't want to steal any thunder, but we lost two proper nouns today. No one knows. Am I still on thunder, Pete?
Save it for Barrett time.
Internet is no longer capitalized.
Oh yeah, that's been a while.
No, I think that kicked into effect today, though. Officially, today was when the AP Stylebook said
the AP Stylebook announced this like months ago.
Oh
right,
yeah,
but now it's been
today's
printed.
The first official day.
And web.
Today's the first official day, though.
And web. Right?
Well, let it be known that the AP Stylebook's decision to do this is wrong and stupid.
Yeah, everyone follows AP Style Guide.
But we have a house style guide that supplements it, and in that house style guide, internet continues to be capitalized.
And it's
thank
good.
You.
Correctly, because
the only
it is a
people
proper
who
noun.
Use a lowercase I in regards to technology is Apple. I'm surprised Apple didn't sue.
Wow, why didn't Apple step in?
I'm surprised Apple didn't sue the AP style guide for introducing.
They want to call the iInternet.
That's right.
The iInternet.
Yeah.
The iInternet.
I dash.
Is that German?
iInternet.
All right. Well, we're going to go to less grim news now with the Technology Bytes Info Shot live from San Antonio.
Maybe.
Take it away, San Antonio.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Yes, high and dry in San Antonio. Last week we mentioned the thing about how the American nuclear computers, the systems used to control a lot of the American nuclear weapons system, was on antique computers with 8-inch floppy disks, and we said maybe that wasn't a good thing. But a former White Hat hacker says that it's not necessarily a bad thing. Chris Thomas, a strategist for Tenable Network Security, said in a statement, quote, "The biggest security issue here isn't that the computer is 40 years old, but rather the quality of the lock on the door where the computer is housed." And then he revealed that it was in a crack house with a wooden door, a rotten wooden door, and one of those old skeleton key type things that you could open with a screwdriver. Now, Thomas, known in hacker circles by his pseudonym Space Rogue, was one of the founding members of the legendary hacker collective Loft. The group famously testified to the U.S. Senate in 1998 that it could take down the internet in 30 minutes or less and get a pizza quicker. Interestingly, the nuclear arsenal running on decades-old computers with floppy disks makes it incredibly difficult to hack, a fact that some in the Air Force actually used as an example of why upgrading isn't really necessary. Thomas said that the IBM Series 1 computer the Pentagon is using to control nukes is most likely air-gapped. Now, here's a key thing. Most likely. That means we just have to hope that that's true. Most likely air-gapped, meaning it's not connected to the internet or a network that could give remote access. You know, like the Iranian centrifuge control systems that were never connected to the internet that got hacked by Stuxnet. Oh, well. So, anyways, he did say the machines are, quote, notoriously reliable, the IBM Series 1 computers, and that he wasn't surprised they were still being used. Quote, as long as they can make regular copies of the software on the 8-inch floppies so that they don't degrade and they have a ready supply of spare parts and new floppies, there's no reason why the system wouldn't last another 40 years, he said. You know, that's true, I guess, except a couple things, you know, and they do mention it in this article, but a couple things is, one, you know, you could apply that logic to just about anything, you know, like your car, or, you know, and how many people have 40-year-old cars? Not a lot. And the other piece is, while the outdated machinery could make it hard for hackers, it also makes it hard to fix it if something goes wrong, since the coding languages it uses are aging as well. And the other piece is, you know, the hardware, unless you've got plenty of spares and plenty of parts. What happens when the unique widget or whatever part that you need, when that's what breaks on the computer and you don't have another one to put in place of it? So, you know, I don't know. I think that yes, he has a point about it, and that's why it's lasted this long. But at some point, it seems like you would maybe want to upgrade. And then other hacker news that was not hackable, but here's one, like like your seventh grade haircut. Your MySpace site might be coming back to haunt you. If you had an account on there, MySpace has not forgotten you, or rather, it hasn't forgotten your password. Which is unfortunate because it was just revealed that a hacker stole username and password information from what could be more than a minor 360 million MySpace accounts. Wah, wah. Late last week, MySpace discovered that user login data, the usernames and passwords, and in some cases secondary passwords as well, were up for sale in an online hacker forum. MySpace says it believes the hacker responsible goes by the name of Peace, and that he's also responsible for the recent hacks of Tumblr and LinkedIn. Importantly, according to the hack tracking site LeakSource, the intrusion itself took place in June of 2013, before MySpace transitioned from failed social network to failed music marketing platform. That means that even if you haven't used MySpace in a lot of years, you could still be vulnerable. Especially if you haven't changed, if you still have your old email address, that also doesn't help. The big thing is that one of the big issues is, you know, what if you use that same password elsewhere, then you could be more vulnerable. So just remember that one. If you had a MySpace account and you're still using that password, also they weren't protected very well. Apparently MySpace didn't protect passwords with much rigor prior to 2013. Meaning if you use the same username and password combo on any other sites today as you did for social networking in 2007, then you are at risk. So think back. Did you have a MySpace site? And are you still using that same lame login and password on other sites? You might want to rush out and change one or the two, or maybe try both. Maybe come up with a new one. Other interesting news, this is the internet and big data and that kind of stuff has been sort of around for, presidential elections since Bill Clinton was in office. But now it may be kind of showing its value. Big data may be showing its value. There's a theory about, this one mentions political stuff. Ooh, so, be aware. Oh, be protected. Trigger warning. Anyways, a couple months ago, journalist Nicholas Kristof wrote a controversial op-ed column in the New York Times about how the media helped make Donald Trump. In the piece, he argued that the $1.9 billion in free publicity that the media has given Donald Trump so far during the election cycle has provided him with a platform from which to spew, quote, outrageous statements that draw ever more cameras without facing enough skeptical follow-up questions. In the aftermath of Kristof's piece, readers and journalists fervently debated the veracity of his claims. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to check the numbers and see whether that's true or not? A site called Parsley, parse.ly, so that you're not looking up garnishes, decided to look into it, and they're in a unique position to comment on this particular debate. They analyzed more than 1 billion page views across more than 100,000 articles to figure out which of the last five remaining U.S. presidential candidates. This goes back to, their data goes back to when Ted Cruz and John Kasich were still in the race. So they did the last five. When they were getting the most attention from both reporters and readers, the thing that surprised them is that the average number of page views for an article on Donald Trump is very similar to the average number of page views for an article on Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Ted Cruz. In fact, Clinton receives the most views per article. So, and then going farther, Trump does not drive revenue. He was lower for traffic than Hillary Clinton. Although then when you look though at the number of articles about him, he had basically half the articles were written about Trump. So apparently it's not because more people read the articles. My personal theory, which I guess we'll have to look at the big data to find out, is that there's a large chunk of the media is friggin' lazy, and it's just easy to go turn a microphone on Donald Trump and then publish articles about him. But that's, I guess we'll have to wait for the data analysis on that one. But so it was just kind of interesting, given that the idea is that lots of people were curious about Trump and looking at articles about him, and apparently it's not true. So there's data coming through with real information for you. And other hackery type stories, last hackery type stories. You know, software makers like Microsoft and Apple put a lot of effort into making sure that, you know, the operating system and app updates and that kind of stuff are secure on your computer so that you can't get hijacked. But an investigation conducted by Duo Security into the software updaters of five of the most popular PC manufacturers. Yeah, these aren't Flaco fringies. Like, this is HP, Dell, Acer, Lenovo, and Asus found that all of them had serious security problems that would allow attackers to hijack the update process and install malicious code on victim machines. Isn't that nice? Researchers at Duo Security's Duo Labs found that all five vendors shipped computers with pre-installed updaters that had at least one high-risk vulnerability that would give an attacker remote code execution ability, you know, the ability to remotely run whatever malicious code they wanted on the system and gain complete control of that system. The skill required to exploit the vulnerabilities was minimal, according to the report they released about their findings. Apparently, they all shared similar security flaws in varying degrees, such as failure to deliver updates over a secured channel like HTTPS. That's a nice one, since we're all supposed to, you know, everybody's supposed to change their websites over to that, especially if you're collecting people's information. But, oh, not little fringe, little mom and pops like HP, Dell, Acer, or Lenovo. Anyways, they also failed to sign update files or validate them. The problems make it possible for attackers to conduct a man-in-the-middle attack to intercept update files as they're transmitted to computers and replace them with malicious ones. So hopefully the fact that now this is known, then the security through obscurity that they were relying on, maybe they'll stop relying on it. And in new stuff news, this one's interesting. You know, the Intel, they talked about moving away from the TikTok cycle, you know, where they had a new platform with a particular size, you know, a construction, you know, so many nanometer architecture, and then they do an enhanced one on the, you know, they release a new one, then they have the enhanced one, and then there's a, you know, that's the talk, and then there's a new one. Well, there also was the problem of the Skylake processors being late, and it being a particularly long cycle on the prior ones. But there's the new processors, the next generation of processors from Intel are still on track for a late 2016 launch and are set to enter production by the end of this quarter, according to an announcement made by Intel at Computex. You know, they said they weren't doing the TikTok process release cycle, and this one, so rather than it being on a smaller process, it's the third member. It's the post TikTok of the 14 nanometer family after Broadwell and Skylake, and it's the successor to Skylake, which has just barely gotten into hardware now, and then there's already the next one coming out after it. So Skylake didn't really get its full shot. KB Lake, it's called KB Lake, KABY. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It does have optimized microarchitecture, supports Thunderbolt 3 and native USB 3.1, but it will not feature support for DisplayPort 1.3. So, for instance, Macs or other computers with KB Lake chips will remain unable to drive 5K displays over a single stream cable. According to Intel, KB Lake will feature advancements in performance, battery, and media capabilities. So, like I said before, the prior two chip releases were plagued with lots of delays, which is probably the reason why they moved away from the TikTok policy. Several Apple Macs, including the Retina MacBook Pro, have been impacted by these chip delays over the past few years, with unusual update cycles and long periods of time between updates, as you know, you've heard it mentioned here. With KB Lake chips set to debut in late 2016, it's possible that refreshed Macs released late in the year could take advantage of the new processors, depending on when the right chip for each Mac launches. iMacs are likely to be refreshed in the later months of 2016, And recent rumors have also suggested there won't be a refreshed Retina MacBook Pro until the fourth calendar quarter of the year. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Intel is also beginning production on entry-level Apollo Lake processors, also set to launch before the end of the year. Those are the Atom-based. Those are for Atom-based notebooks like all-in-one machines and tablet PCs. So if you're waiting for those, that's what's coming from Intel. And then this one is one of those really irritating and infuriating stories, but it bears covering because it happens, and it did happen in Texas. Isn't that nice? You know, we've talked about patent trolls, and we've talked about Texas being the place where everybody wants to have their patent troll trial in East Texas. Patent troll VIMET-X, V-I-M-E-T, is it? It's either VIMET or Vernet. The kerning on this doesn't make it clear. Fresh on the heels of a $626 million FaceTime and iMessages patent victory over Apple, now wants a federal judge to permanently turn off those popular features. Wednesday, they also asked the judge presiding over the litigation to increase the damages the East Texas jury awarded in February by another $190 million. Apple wants a retrial, surprise, claiming that, I guess it is Vernet. Vernet X's lawyers misrepresented evidence to the jury and that the evidence presented at trial didn't support infringement. The gadget maker said it also should not have to pay royalties. So that's according to Law 360, a website that you have to subscribe to, which attended the hearing. I guess when you're talking about almost $1 billion, when you take the 626 and add the other 190 million, then maybe some of the press will pay attention to it, or at least some websites. Let's see. The Apple argued that Vernet X is improperly trying to secure an overly broad injunction so that it can be used to extract a massive licensing fee. Apple's documents connected to the issue also are lodged under seal. However, Vernet X's post-trial demands are in the public record, so that's how this is known about. The dispute stems from a jury ruling in February that favored Vernet X in respect to the four patents at issue. The Apple products include VPN on demand, FaceTime, and the iMessage platform. Vernet X, according to a court filing, wants those services blocked because of, quote, lost sales and reputational harm caused by Apple's distribution of the infringing features. Yeah, have you heard of, before I started talking about it in this article, had you heard of Vernet X? Their patents originated at a company called Science Applications International Corporation, or SAIC. Vernet X has been saying for years that it has planned to market various.
All right.
8:32:32.
There you are.
Oh, he's back. Oh,
I disappeared.
Oh, just for like 10 seconds.
You, the kids, everybody.
Yeah.
Nice. It's all back. Maybe Vernet X blocked me.
Maybe.
Am I gone again?
No, you're there.
Can you hear us?
He can't hear us, but we can hear him.
Pete! Calling Pete!
Hello, Pete.
Houston to Pete. Pete, come in, Pete. This is Houston.
You guys keep coming and going.
You're solid, though.
Okay, good. Well, Vernet X's patents originated at a company called Science Applications International. They've been saying for years they have plans to market various products, but for the time being, all their money comes from licensing patents. They have about a dozen employees and lease a small office in Zephyr Code, Nevada, for roughly $5,000 a month, according to their yearly financial statement. So that it could be interesting. Obviously, if they get what they want, then a lot of Apple users will be not happy. They will be no happy if iMessage and FaceTime, maybe not so much, but I know a lot of people use iMessage regularly. And finally, the final story of this cycle, we talked about the whole TikTok thing for Intel, and that's the upgrading, you know, new computers with new processors. But the upgrade cycle for PCs, you know, in other words, people replacing their computers has slowed down dramatically, apparently. according to Intel CEO Brian Krzanich on said today. He said that now it's about 6 years that the replacement cycle used to be 4 years on average and is now moved to 5 or 6 years. So when you buy a computer, your reasonable expectation it should be that you can use it for 5 or 6 years. One of the things that he said, though, is that one of the things that he thinks is a reason that people don't upgrade more often on their PC is that, quote, right now it's easier to move your phone to a new phone than your PC to a new PC, he said. We've got to fix some of those things. PC upgrades have slowed because current operating systems can run well on older Intel-based PCs. So Intel shipped core processors codenamed Sandy Bridge, and they can run things like Windows 10. You know, in a recent test, PC World was able to run Windows 10 on a Dell Dimension E510 desktop from 2006, although the results were mixed. So it sounds like on the right track on the replacement thing. I think a lot of it is that as long as it keeps working and as long as people can keep putting reasonably recent operating systems and software on their computers, they don't really have a reason to upgrade. And that's the news.
All right. So there's a lot of background noise coming from you tonight, Pete, including myself.
Wow. So at, you know, at where you work, what is there a set cycle, or is it just pretty much when people's machines break or wear out, then they get a new one, or is there?
We're trying to build a refresh, plan, but right now it's real. Right now it's.
That's a little bit disconcerting.
That's a little disconcerting.
Even for me.
The way we're doing it is, yeah, pretty much people that their computer wears out or, you know, it goes out of warranty and they make a justification for getting a new one. We get them a new one. But it's a lot better than it used to be because there was a time, you know, a couple of mergers ago where we were, you know, we were hanging on to old computers. So you could come to the company, be a brand new employee of the company and, hey, welcome aboard. Here's your 5-year-old laptop.
A 386. This is awesome.
Or when two people came in and complained, you'd just take and install their stuff on the other guy's machine and swap them.
I've done that too.
That's been there.
You got a door on that room, Pete? Sounds like there's a lot of conversation going on there. Tell them to shut up.
Well, I did.
I know his kids because they.
There was an extra word in that. For all you fun people on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, hardware refreshes. I'm in the dubious position of having to vet new hardware.
Ooh. That's so, kind of a gamble all on its own. Because you never know if you're going to get a quantum fireball or, you know, what you're going to get for the most part, do you?
Well, I mean more along the lines of like when somebody wants a new computer, I have to make the determination of whether or not they should get it.
So are you loved?
So you're getting
hated?
Like wined and dined?
Yeah.
Well, it's good and bad that people think I just kind of like poop laptops. But
because sometimes if you're mad at them, maybe you did.
Well. I don't like being the arbiter of hardware like that. So unfortunately, it's a lot of admin work and having to keep track of purchases and all that. And blech. I'd either rather say yes all the time or no all the time. But the fact that I have to make the determination and still get questioned about it, like, are you sure that they should get a new laptop? Okay, well, we'll approve it.
Can I have a new laptop, Jay?
You can have a new laptop as soon as you buy one.
Oh. Okay.
To replace the one you broke? Yes. It's kind of interesting, though. Your laptops tend to hold up better than your mobile devices.
Yeah, they do. I shattered my phone in Italy. Just the back side. But that means new.
That's how we know you weren't replaced by a clone.
New Galaxy S7 on the way, and supposedly that one's kind of waterproof, so we'll put that to the test here before too long.
I don't think have you ever water damaged anything?
Oh, washed a phone. I gave David Fretz a springtime fresh phone one time because I was doing laundry and doing phone stuff at the same time, and I lost my phone. Like, where'd my mobile phone go? And it wasn't until the sheets from the bed dried out enough in the dryer to where I could hear the clunking.
But it did smell really good.
And actually, this is how far phones have fallen from the indestructible phase. I gave it to David thinking it wasn't going to work. He let it dry out for 2 weeks. It powered up, and it was fine.
Put it in rice.
Yeah, I think you put it in rice or something. So
The rice thing works surprisingly well. I mean, you know, it won't bring your phone back from the if it's got, you know, massive water infiltration or whatever.
If it's been, like, left on the ground floor of an 1800 hurricane house.
Right.
Yeah.
And horse stomp. And sometimes if you try to... If you try to turn it on, that can, like, cause...
Well, that'll short it itself, too, yeah.
Then, you know, then it's done. But, like, if you're careful with it, the rice can really, really help.
Well, the thing, too, though, is on that phone, you know, I was able to pull the battery immediately, and you can't really do that on sealed phones anymore.
Right.
So it's gotten a lot more complicated. And phones, I feel like, especially with all the glass and with all the, you know, they look a lot cooler now, but they're just, like, designed to fail, at least in my hands.
Oh, well, the getting phones wet thing, Apple has actually, like, a thing in their phones that tells them, they can look at it and tell if you dropped it in water.
The pink strip. I always thought that was, I mean, the phone was pregnant. No, that's not what that means. Okay.
The rabbit app died.
It means you're jacked. You know, it means that whoever it was that told you, oh no, it was just for a second, and sends you off to the Apple store to try and get them a new phone, that they were not correct.
Derp. Yeah, I didn't know about the little strips in there, but they're all over the place. That's why if you take your iPhone in and you say that it's not working, one of the first things that one of the techs will do is pull out almost like a jeweler's loop and look down the headphone jack, because there's one like
it's
right.
It's gonna be a boy.
Yeah.
Wait, pregnancy test.
I get it. I didn't know. And there's, like, a bunch inside too.
And that immediately takes it out of warranty for the most part.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If the strip is turned, they're like,
they build in a lot of things to make sure that they don't have to replace under warranty.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, toilet phones are not that uncommon.
Well, there was a video. I don't think you talked about it in the thing. No, you didn't. There was a video of a it went super viral this week of an unauthorized Apple service center. I guess it's just a general electronics, like, shop, and I think it was in New York. And it's a YouTube video of a tech sitting at a workbench talking about how they're not a certified Apple service center, but, like, Apple will frequently replace stuff or refuse to service stuff when the problem of whatever the thing is, like, really simple. And he has a MacBook Air in front of him. And he goes very quickly through a repair procedure where he ends up taking off a little bitty surface mount resistor and replacing it with a new surface mount resistor. And that's, like, the only thing that was wrong with this whole, with, like, the keyboard and the trackpad weren't working. And he had a... He had, like, a motherboard, like, CAD file of, and since Apple doesn't release them, I don't know where he got it from, but, like, he does some diagnostics, and then he traces out the wiring pinout of the cable from the trackpad, which the keyboard plugs into, and then he one by one tests the outputs on the cable and sees that this one's bad, traces it on the motherboard, like, CAD file back to this one surface mount component that was blown, replaces it, and the whole thing works magically. And then he goes on, like, a 5-minute long tirade about how Apple service centers, they don't do that. They just replace components. But if you're willing to pay, you know, whatever his rate was, which was probably relatively cheap, $100 or so, he'll just toss a new resistor on.
Do basic hardware troubleshooting that Apple just doesn't want to do.
They
just
want to chunk the whole little bitty. He's got a microscope and he's working with tools and everything, but he desolders this, you know, minuscule little resistor and cleans the solder off and acid brushes it and then resolders this tiny little thing. And then boom, works great. No problems. It was actually really, really cool. I forget where I was going with this, except that, you know, Apple will just throw it away.
Yeah, repairable electronics, you know.
It's not really a thing anymore. I mean, it's not really fair to single out Apple for it because they all do it. Every single one of the OEMs.
But the number of people that can do that kind of board level repair.
Very low.
You're not going to pay them what you pay an Apple genius. you know, to sit behind the counter and do that. It's cheaper for them overall, probably just to replace the phone, and they make money.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the Apple Genius does is they pixie boot up into their diagnostic tool, and it runs a bunch of things, and if any of them is red and you're under warranty, they basically throw your thing out and give you a new one from the refurb pile and say, restore your own data, good luck. Or if it's not under warranty, they say, this will be, you know, $9,000, and then you pay it, and then they pull one out from the refurb pile and give it to you and say, now go restore your own data, good luck.
Well, I must say, last summer I had to replace the same iPhone 5S twice. And at least the plus side of it was I went and looked after the first one. I looked around, and actually they charged, because the phone, I mean, it had been in the water. It had been well in the water. There was, you know, if the only way it could have been worse is if there was water dripping out of it as I stood there in the Apple store. So, you know, so then it's like, well, what can you do? And that, well, they could sell me a new phone for $250 or whatever it was. And I went and looked at that time there, that was the lowest price for that was lower than any price I could find online, you know, other than dicey Craigslist stuff, like, you know, no photography, we'll meet you behind the dumpster at Walmart at 7
bring
p.m.
cash,
not twice on bring the green
cash,
door
bring cash, no photography.
Come alone.
So you know, so on that side, at least they were, you know, when there was an opportunity where they could go, where they could have really bent you over and charged more, they didn't, which was helpful, especially the second time I went in to do it. So that was nice, but it wasn't water both times, but water the first time, and then the second time was 2 weeks later when they showed their new phone to their friend who dropped it on the sidewalk. Dope. And so that one was pretty well, you know, that one, you didn't have to have a jeweler's loop to know that one was pretty much good night, you know.
Well, I will say that when I dropped my iPhone 6 Plus and smashed the screen and had it repaired in Auckland, they did a great job of repairing it, except we didn't know, and nobody thought to check, I guess.
Did you say it was repaired in Auckland?
In Auckland.
Is it upside down?
That's what I was saying. It's upside down.
you flip it, and it flips.
It spins the wrong way.
It goes horizontal when you put it vertical.
It turns the wrong way?
Yeah. Well, this
I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that the undiagnosed problem that I didn't know existed until I got home was that the microphone was busted.
Oh. Well, that's kind of an important
part. Oh, because you weren't making calls or doing anything.
Well, I mean, the microphone... There's two mics. The microphone works fine. Ah. The phone mic works fine. The phone mic works fine.
There's a noise-canceling mic, too.
No, there's a mic for Siri has its own mic.
That's probably not a bad deal, where you're just blocking Siri from listening to your entire life.
But now the it's also, I think, the speakerphone mic as well. So, you know, I'd like to get it fixed just... because I don't like to have a broken phone.
It actually, I think, I mean, it's supposed to have, all the iPhones are supposed to have two microphones for doing that, but the second mic is also used for noise cancellation. So if you get that fixed, people listening to you will probably say that you suddenly sound a lot clearer, because if you're not getting noise cancellation, that bottom mic that's down there by your mouth is just picking, it's just grabbing everything.
No one listens to Jay anymore. Okay.
Who uses a phone as a phone anymore?
I don't
anyway.
Really use a phone as a phone. I hardly call anybody.
It's texting these days. It's even the old people text.
I had a major accomplishment. I got Cynthia to finally start texting.
That's right.
She finally started texting.
Now, is she a text monster at this point, or is
not
she just dipping her toes in?
She just, you know, has discovered that it's a quick way to send me a note. Because I made her realize, because Cynthia is one of those people who, when you call her on the phone, sounds extremely bothered by the fact that you called her on
is
the
she,
phone.
Why are you intruding?
I think she's ultimately, like, you know, doesn't want to answer the phone, doesn't want to be tied to that phone. So I said, well, you know, the text is a way to not, if I could send you a text to just assume that you might have seen it, then you don't have to pick up the phone, you don't have to do anything. And I think she's kind of gotten on board with that.
It's like email, almost.
Well, she's not a big emailer either. Although Cynthia is, like, one of those people who is, you know, like, at least 5, if not 10 years behind the the meme curve. So she finds stuff that's funny, and she's finally starting to send emails. And fortunately, she
has cheeseburger.
Have you seen this baby that dances?
Jay, do you know that all your bass are belong to us?
I will say that she has pretty good taste in her meme stuff and her humorous emails. When she does choose to send them, it's usually something I haven't seen. But it's also kind of gotten weird because I'll say, she'll ask me if I saw something, and I was going to ask her if she'd already seen it. So she's kind of staying on top of things. She was really addicted to dog shaming for a while.
As in watching it or going out and shaming other people's dogs?
Have you seen dog shaming? Google dog shaming.
Is it where they put the signs and it's I ate this, I did that?
Yeah. I'm a bad dog. And cats.
Would you shame your bird? Would you ever shame Dooley? Does he ever do anything wrong that's worth shaming?
Dooley, I would imagine if he tried to tie a sign around his neck, he'd probably get the crap bit out.
You just put it on the cage, like to the side.
You know, we have to reprimand him. We have to reprimand the birds so often that now one bird reprimands
them. It's kind of nice. It automates that process.
Well, except that the Dooley's so smart that he makes the irritating noise that the other bird makes. And then he chastises him. So he'll go, gag, Murphy.
Wow. It's like a 4-year-old.
Wow.
That's all right. A friend of mine had, I had heard of an African Grey, and I have no reason to not believe that this story was true, but there was someone who had an African Grey that would say in the owner's voice, "Here, kitty, 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 kitty," and the cat would come in, and the bird would go, "Stupid cat." Well, bird stories, that's going to be a great another 10 minutes, I guess. All right, so do we have time for a segment before we go to the top of the hour, or are we going to just keep?
I think we could do a seg. There's tons of stuff tonight, so.
All right.
We may not get all the way through, but.
Bite.
And of course, this is the one that has the silence at the end, right?
Right.
So,
slowly
just checking because I didn't get a chance to rework that during the past week. So Apple stuff. It's interesting how the rumor cycle tightens up, because on Tuesday there was an article that talked about the Apple Thunderbolt display, which was a monitor that 6 or 7 years ago was really amazing and cool, and people liked them, 27-inch monitor and everything, and yet has not been updated, changed, or improved in virtually any way since they added Thunderbolt to it. You know, originally it came out with, was DisplayPort, and they added Thunderbolt some years ago. So long ago, nobody remembers.
Yeehaw! Back in your motor and transmission.
Yeah, well, there's a Houston-specific reference for you, or anybody who's had a Thunderbolt transmissions. Anyways, supplies have gotten thin. Supplies of those have gotten thin at the retail locations, like all over the world. And once one place noticed and mentioned it, other places chimed in and said that the supply of these monitors is constrained and not around. And so... of course, WWDC is right around the corner. It's within a couple of weeks. The other thing that's missing is Airport Extreme and Time Capsule Wi-Fi base stations are out of stock at many Apple stores. So now the rumors are that the monitor may mean that there's going to be a 5K a 5K monitor replacing it. If you've ever seen the iMac with the 5K display on it, it is pretty much amazing. If you want to be really cruel to somebody, let them use an iMac 5K display for a few days, and then give back their old one that they loved before, and they will probably hate it because it is the iMac 5K is so clear. And you can essentially put, you know, 4 screens worth of stuff up on one 27-inch screen. The big interesting thing with the new one, the new 5K, the big rumor piece with it is, you know, right now there's not anything that supports a sort of single cable solution to hook this monster up to a computer. So the rumor is that there may be an integrated graphics card, an external GPU in the monitor that would let you use it with older machines.
Well, without getting too deep, because this gets into a really esoteric argument, the problem is that to drive it at native resolution at 5K requires more bandwidth than is in a, I think it's a 1.3, the Thunderbolt or the DisplayPort 1.3, like, lane. There's not enough lane bandwidth to push that many pixels at the correct refresh rate. So they're thinking about, according to this rumor at least, like you're saying, maybe just throw a GPU inside the monitor so that you don't have to transmit the display data over Thunderbolt. You can just use the PCIe lane component and send the data as PCIe bus data over the cable instead of as DisplayPort data. Magic! Probably so, means the monitor, if this is how they're going to do it, is going to be like, yeah, it's going to be like basically the cost of a used car.
It was believed that Apple would wait to introduce a 5K display until DisplayPort 1.3 support
there you go.
Is built into Intel processors, which, if you hearken back to the info shot at the beginning, the thing that I mentioned was not in the upcoming this fall Intel processor was DisplayPort 1.3, so it would be sometime next year. Well into next year before there's any possibility of something would have enough bandwidth to drive a 5K display over a single stream cable. You know, there is some stuff with two cables where it uses two DisplayPort 1.2 streams, which I think is how they made the 5K display work in the iMac. They have this stitching scheme that they use. But anyways, you know, given that it's that the old monitor that it's replacing is 5 years old, it is kind of about time that they did something. And then now on to the fun 2017 iPhone rumors. It's that there's some one of the big things is the rumor that Apple might change their upgrade deal away from TikTok, and so we'll talk about that when we get back.
All right. Well, that music indicates that it is time for us to take a short break and do some station business. So we're going to take a short break and do some station business because of the music. All right. Well, you're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Plicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Grudos.
Ring, ring, banana phone.
KPFT wants to thank you for your donation during our recently concluded Spring Pledge Drive. If you've been putting off your membership, your donation is a great opportunity to support KPFT and to get ready for our upcoming board elections. This fall, KPFT will hold an election to seat members on the local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's 5 local station boards. Board delegates are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community. Your contribution qualifies you to vote and run this election. Visit kpft.org to donate, become a member, and to vote and run in the fall. Nominations for the board are underway, but don't wait. If you want to run for the board, the nomination period is short. Again, visit kpft.org to make your pledge right now and for information about the elections. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT transmite por el aire 24 horas del día, 7 días de la semana y cubre diferentes tipos de gente y gente con diferentes estilos de vida. KPFT está aquí cuando usted necesita lo mejor de noticias, independientes y música durante el día. Pero manteniendo este tipo de recurso no viene barato. KPFT necesita su contribución para continuar a tener esta estación única cuando usted lo necesite. Si usted está escuchando cuando se prepara por la cama o cuando se está levantando en la mañana para el trabajo, ¿por qué no hablar a la línea de departamentos de miembros a KPFT y hacer un miembro? El número es fácil. Para recordar, es 713-526-4000, extensión 314. O puede visitarnos en nuestra página kpft.org y dar su contribución. Esto es KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KBFT, Houston. We now return to Technology Bites.
Welcome back.
We've rebooted the internet. We did our housekeeping.
Everybody's got Windows 10 now.
Yes.
Even the Mac users.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. All right, so welcome back to the show. We got another hour of goodness going for you. You'll love it. We're going to go back to the bite of the apple news thing. So you said something about a new iPhone rumor.
TikTok.
Well, basically, there's the whole TikTok thing is, I guess, taking a cue from Intel. There is a rumor that Apple is moving from a TikTok 2-year refresh cycle to a TikTok talk cycle. I guess they couldn't come up with a third TikTok.
I think the third one's supposed to be don't stop.
TikTok.
Yes.
TikTok and you don't stop.
But so the idea is that Apple will only substantially update its iPhone design every 3 years rather than its current every other year cycle. So instead of the, you know, the whatever and the S and then a new one, it just sounds so it the thing that's not clear is how they're going to handle the naming thing. Right now it sounds like it's going to be called the iPhone 7 even without the big without a big update in it. At some point, I guess the thing is, you know, we have been spoiled. Apple has managed to pull the rabbit out of the hat, relatively speaking, a lot more times in a row than you might have expected.
Again.
And have something.
But now they're bullwinkling it. This time for sure.
Now for something you'll really like.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Moose and squirrel.
Anyways, you know, they've managed to have compelling upgrades up to now, and I think, you know, they figured out it's like how many new features can you cram into a slab of glass and maybe metal that's, you know, an eighth of an inch thick and so on. So
they're gonna have real, you know, bone.
It'll living tissue will be added to the next. But there are some rumors. You know, one of them we mentioned last time. It may be that the base. It's possible that the base memory will be, or that the memory amounts will actually be changed. That they'll go to 32 gigs for the smallest iPhone 7, and then have 32. 128 and 256 be the sizes for the various devices. So there's that. So that's sort of compelling. I mean, it's not a brand new feature. They're also talking about having a more advanced haptic engine, which you might go, what the heck's that? Why they got an engine in my phone? It's the thing that vibrates your phone or gives you that feedback when you touch the screen, or taptic engine, sorry.
He's shocking an engine.
It will be equipped with a high-performance motor able to create more complex tactile vibrations. Yes, the vibrations of the spheres will come through your iPhone 7. Now they're going to get all supernatural on it. So there's that. Of course, that doesn't lead to a Steve Jobs level keynote address about it. You know, watch, look, see, it vibrated different. That watch this one now. Oh, whoa, vibrations. That's not all that thrilling. The capacity thing, maybe people would like. And yeah, the maximum thing up to 256 gigs is pretty impressive. I guess I'll say, that this has obviously been helped by the fact that the price of large scale flash memory has dropped dropped steeply since the second half of 2015.
Yeah. There's some pretty impressive prices on SSDs now.
Yeah. And it's starting to trickle into even them, like multi-terabyte ones, I think, are getting prices that humans could consider like actually affording, where it used to be that, you know, if you were trying to buy an SSD, you were looking at what number under 128 could you afford on gigs. Now it's getting to terabytes. Finally, the fifth generation Apple TV could feature the version of Siri that's being developed to compete with the Amazon Echo. So beyond the kind of, you know, speakery thing like Amazon has, Apple might incorporate it into the TV. The suggestion is that the fifth generation Apple TV will eventually get its own microphone and speaker, and that Apple will improve its computing infrastructure to handle more Siri queries.
Siri queries.
Which rhymes, yeah. Supporting these developments will be the previously rumored Siri SDK for developers, allowing them to hook third-party apps into the platform. It's not clear when that would be launched, because Apple TV, obviously, there's not a regular time you can point to. The TikTok cycle on the Apple TV is that there's thousands of ticks and talks, and then randomly they release a new Apple TV.
It's kind of like the millennial clock. Like ticks once every 17 years.
Or it seems like the doomsday clock, or else that the one that was the pitch, the tar thing where it drops a glob of tar every 113 years or something, or 78 years, and nobody, you know, they have a camera on it so that actually it can be seen when it happens. You can Google that one. It is real. And that's the Apple news for today.
Lee, are you going to get a Celerin to test? Swinging back to the Android
what?
Phone.
Wait a minute, a what?
A Celerin. There's a company called Siren Labs. They have made there are all these super secure Android phones. Most of them hadn't worked out that well, but I think in the next couple of days they're putting on sale a phone called the Celerin.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, except it costs about $16,000.
Oh yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
I got that. Burn a hole in my pocket at this exact
moment.
It's supposed
to be super secure. It has like a ton of just LTE radios to where you can get huge downloads. It's got like laser autofocus on the camera, although the pictures are supposed to be somewhat unimpressive.
No screen.
Yeah, no screen. And it doesn't even power up. It's completely secure.
What kind of hyper-intelligent robot does it transform into?
It's made,
does it cost $16,000?
It's made from a solid brick of billet aluminum.
Apparently Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy showed up for the launch. So I don't know. I think they're aiming it at like the ridiculous London area where people have that kind of money and want to pay to have that feeling of security.
It's like a Virtu phone for people who already have Virtu phones.
Pretty much. Yeah, actually, that's what they're saying. Yeah, they compared it to the Virtu. Like all these other, you know, failed, ridiculously expensive phones.
Wow, because I want to announce mine, which is going to be, it's 4D printed, which means you pay me today. And then in the future, it will print out near you. Somewhere.
Time shifted. The one redeeming thing this has.
Working on the concept.
It's got like a 4K milliamp hour battery, which is pretty nice.
That's a lot.
But I don't know if that's worth 16,000. Well, 4,000 milliamp hours. So 4K.
To drive your 4K display?
Yeah, drive the 4K display. I don't even think it has that. It's 24 megapixel shooter. is an f2.0 lens good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah,
it's a very
kind of standard for a phone.
Oh, is it? Is that what's on phones these days?
Yeah, that makes sense.
The iPhone S6 identifies itself as f2.2.
I think that's the problem with these. They go off cycle. They try to secure everything. By the time everything's secured, the phone is dated because they can't keep up with, you know, all the updates. This is probably good specs two years ago.
Focal stuff on camera lenses hasn't been changing a whole lot. I mean, other than on phones.
I don't know. It's all magic. Magic stuff comes out of those little phones.
I want to mention four bands.
What?
FM.
And see
AM.
And see what
CB.
UHF.
See if you can make the connection.
Okay. What are we doing?
I'm going to mention four bands.
1800, 1900, 850, and
musical bands.
Oh.
Berlin.
I know. I already know.
Information Society.
Yes, confirmed.
Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine.
Different night, Friday night.
And Prophets of Rage.
Yes. This is DEFCON
this
material.
This is DEFCON music.
80, so get this.
The last one isn't. I just thought
Berlin.
It was awesome.
Saturday night is 80s night. So they're actually bringing Information Society.
With Terry Nunn.
Yeah.
Is going to play there. And then, yeah, Berlin is also, Take My Breath Away, is going to play Saturday night at DEFCON 2.
Take My Breath Away, but Metro and Sex.
Yeah.
Heartstrings, my favorite
Berlin song.
So I think DEFCON has aged to the point where 80s, they were like hackers in the 80s. Because I remember those songs. Yeah. Top Gun was one of them. But yeah, and Information Society. Actually, I think I might have broken that tape. I played it so much in my car at one point.
They couldn't get Kenny Loggins there, or did they think
Danger Zone? We'll see.
They did Highway to the Danger Zone, that it would be too homoerotic.
The lineup isn't over yet. But the Richard Cheese is really cool too. He does, I think that's a whole separate lounge thing on Friday night, and he does covers of stuff, but in a very loungy, cheesy way.
He does his covers of Disturbed, Down with the Sickness, is like one of my favorites.
We're gonna have to tuxedo up and go see that Friday night.
Oh yeah, he's got a really good sense of humor.
I'm sure in Las Vegas you could find somebody who would come to your room,
kill a couch for you, and put it on your back. That's what I want. I want a couch, cheesy jacket, tuxedo
but
style.
I'm sure that you know you could arrange. We could arrange to have anybody tuxed. they abduct you, take you to your room,
install Linux on you.
Go as a penguin.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So the fourth band was actually just a trick. Are y'all familiar with Prophets of Rage?
No, I'm not.
So
I wish I was that cool. I'm
sure. Rage Against the Machine, right? Haven't done anything in years.
Oh, they came back?
So take away, like, the lead singer, and you have the rest of the guys, right?
Rage Against the Machine.
And then you add Cypress Hill.
Insane in the brain.
And oh man, I'm just blanked. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Okay.
Put them in front of the rhythm section from Rage Against the Machine.
And now you're going to close. They're not going to be at DEF CON.
They did it. No, they're not going to be at DEF CON.
Well, why?
They did. That's why I said I threw it in this to throw you off. But they did. They did their first show yesterday at Whiskey Go Go in California. Anyway, I just think it's cool because, you know, I was never necessarily like a huge fan of Cypress Hill, but I really like Public Enemy, and I really like Rage Against the Machine.
Chuck D's cool.
So, yeah, so it's... Actually, I was going to watch their live show. They haven't recorded their first show, but I haven't watched it yet. But they did a lot of, like, songs from those bands, as well as a couple of new songs.
Well, one pro tip for DEF CON is make sure that when you're trying to get somebody tuxed that you speak very clearly so they don't get doxed.
It is 2 months away.
Or get dressed like a fat penguin.
Yes. People want to go. They should probably start making plans.
We installed Red Hat on them.
I've got my hotel booked.
I have no airfare yet.
No airfare for me either. But I was actually waffling on actually going, but now...
What?
Not everyone gets to be a goon. Oh, although I have to say that there is good news about DEF CON.
So what you're saying is I should call in sick to the show on DEF CON week because there'll be nobody here.
Well, no, I'll be here.
We're the ground forces that go in.
Well, no, they go on Wednesday. I go on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
And the trade-off is that Barrett ensures that I have a pass.
Right, they buy your pass.
I've lost a lot of sleep and a lot of brain cells to make that happen.
I did get approved for press.
Cool.
If you haven't sent yours in, you might send it in.
I will send that in. I've not done that yet. Hopefully it's not too late.
I've been approved for press, but Yeah, no, the good news is that our party planner is going to be there this year.
Oh, for your company?
No.
No, who?
Our party
planner. Oh, Emily.
Yes.
Awesome.
What are the downsides?
Are you guys talking about weed?
No. No.
Dude, just because this is a leftist radio show doesn't mean, or radio station.
We're talking about Molly.
No.
Emily.
Oh, I'm sorry. Emily. Right.
She's our hacker mom, our hacker din mother.
All right, so at DEF CON, when we go, nobody, I mean...
It's a lot of cats running around.
Herding cats is exactly what I was going to say in terms of trying to get everybody together and on a plan.
We're even trying to figure out what we're going to do.
What we're going to do. But Emily will step up to that task, round up the limousines, whatever it is we need to go wherever it is we're going to go and do whatever it is we're going to do. So she's...
Scare the stragglers, leads the way. Yes.
Yes.
And also is a mighty fine puzzle solver as well.
Yes, she's game for the game. And so it's exciting she'll be there. And if you have never, ever been to a hacking convention...
Don't!
Dude, just go to this one. This is the one that Afflicted did it 1 year, and I did it. We'd always wanted to go. It'd always been on the radar. We always thought we weren't worthy, but you just need to go, and it turns out you're probably worthy, because there are a ton of people there that aren't worthy now. So it's fine.
And just to set the tone, I don't know if I've told this story on the air. I think y'all probably know it, but so, like, you know, I tend to feel like I don't belong places, and that, you know, I'm not, like, good enough to be somewhere, right? So that's pretty much a constant theme in my life. So I'd wanted to go to DEF CON, but I'm.
How do you feel about being on the show? Are you better or worse?
Remind him he's on air; he'll be quiet.
Well, see, but that thing is, once it get past it, and then it's okay.
Yeah.
Right. And when you first asked me, you didn't say, do you want to be a person on the show? You just said, hey, do you want to come and hang out? And I was like, yeah, I'll come see the station and whatever. I wasn't planning on talking or anything. I was just going to sit here and whatever.
Stare.
So.
Tricked you.
But anyway, so I kind of always feel like, you know, I don't belong places. And so I remember DEF CON, reading about DEF CON and stuff, like, in the single digits. And thinking, like, I really would love to go. That would be so awesome, like, to see what's going on and what they're doing. And it's just that, all that stuff fascinates me. Like, I always liked all the guys that would, like, deface websites. Like, I would always go look at defacements. I forgot the name of that website that used to keep people that upload defacements to attrition. I think it was attrition.
Yeah. Attrition.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's still
I used to love to go there and, like, look at the defacements and stuff back when, like, the Keebler elves were defacing stuff. They were my favorite ones. But anyway, it's a bunch of different people that did it. Anyway, so I never went. And then, yeah, eventually, like, you'd already been, and Jay decided he was going to go, and Jay already had a hotel room. And so it was, like, the last minute. And I thought, all right, you know, I kept waffling. I'm like, all right, the night before I needed to leave, I was like, I'm not sure. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to bed, and if I get up in the morning and the flight is the same price or less, I'll go. I honestly was thinking, like, there's no way it's going to go up because it's the day of the flight. So I got up the next morning, I checked, and the price had dropped like $30. I'm like,
it's a sign.
Guess I'm going. So I bought my ticket, and I flew out, like, you know, in the afternoon. And, you know, so I get there, and I'm like, oh, man, it's a bunch of hackers, and, like, they're going to look at me and be like, hey, you don't belong here. This is my feeling.
As you get off the plane.
Yeah. You know, so I'm kind of nervous. I'm, like, looking around, like, oh, this is bad. So I check in at the hotel. I did check in because I needed to get a thing to meet Jay. So I go into the elevator, and I'm like, all right. Everybody's going to think I'm, like, you know, an idiot, like, noob, like, I need to not look stupid. I need to, like, act like I'm confident and I know what I'm doing so I can, like, pass for being, you know, somebody that belongs
this is
here.
Like, were you afraid you're going to push the wrong button on the elevator? Or what was going on?
No.
It's like every day is an adult for me.
So I get in the elevator, and I know, like, it's what floor it is, 17 or whatever. I press the button, and sure enough, like, a couple of guys get on wearing black T-shirts and blue jeans and wearing DEF CON badges, and I'm like, oh, man, just be cool, man. Be cool. Just act like you know what you're doing, man. So the elevator gets to the floor, and the door opens, and there's not a hall straight in front of me. You know, it's a wall, and so you have to go right or left. And I'm like, just act confident. Act like you know what you're doing. So I'd, like, just stepped out of the elevator and, like, turned left. Like, I know where I'm going, and I turned right into a glass wall. And I'm like, son of a... So then I just kind of stood there waiting for the door to the elevator to close behind me. And then when it closed, then I like went the other way.
So you totally fit in with the social awkwardness. That's pretty much the whole DEF CON experience. A lot of guys going like, oh, oops, I'm supposed to be doing this. I meant to do that.
I think, you know, you have more cred than you realize. And you've already climbed the ranks, you know.
Yeah, it's just like knowing people, though. That's
All it's social,
it's all about
engineering.
Relationships, though, yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm not much of a social engineer. I'm more antisocial.
Antisocial engineering. Don't give me your password.
Like, what?
I don't want access to your data.
Update your software. Goodbye.
But I feel so sorry for you, Nitch. Please just have it.
But now, this year, you're going to be a good.
Wearing a red t-shirt, striking fear into the hearts of other congoers.
Maybe. I don't.
It's more of a ceremonial position.
It may be red. I mean, because they changed to red last year. It used to just be the security goons were red, you know, but then last year they made everybody red. But the security goons were mad about it, and so they made everybody put like different stripes depending on what section you were in. So they had like this orange tape that they were using to put stripes
they
on your
hatched red shirt.
You're going to be a speaker goon, right?
Yeah.
And
so I'm going to be a speaker.
And you're not much of a speaker, which is I think pretty awesome.
For those at home that don't know, the goons are the security, the volunteer security. Maybe they get paid.
They breathe order. No, they get free con. And
it's not security though. I mean, security is just one of.
It's security and
don't
support.
Don't make him goon you down.
Any kind of support, like a AV network, speaker,
vendor areas, contests.
But ultimately, if you get a hold of a goon, you've got the goon's attention. I mean, you're going to have access.
You don't always
to all
want the goon's attention. No, I've learned that. Well, you don't want to be on the goon radar.
Well, the cool thing, my first exposure to the goons was when they had the electronic badges, and the goon's badge would communicate with your badge
and give you a virus.
Make you go crazy. Virus. Yeah.
So you're going to get a goon badge this year.
We're going to have a trifecta of badges pretty soon.
We'll have a goon badge.
Well, we'll have a trifecta. We need all five. We need a speaker. We usually know speakers. We just need to find a vendor and a contest person.
At any rate, you should go to DEF CON if you're interested in it, because there is a lot of good information there. I mean, I don't even take in a drop of what goes on
there's,
there.
There's so much going on, it's almost impossible. You
cannot
nobody,
do everything.
I mean, even if you really were like taking like massive amounts of uppers or something, you still could.
There are too many tracks.
Too many things going on at the same time.
At any point you choose to do one thing, there are other contests, there's three other talks going on, there's Sky Talks going on, there's all sorts of other shenanigans going on.
But even if you're young and you can get like 1, 2, 3 hours of sleep a night for 4 nights.
One bath, 2 meals, 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah. So it's still, you're still going to miss stuff. But for people who can't do that, like can't get that couple hours of sleep a night and function for 4 days, you kind of have to choose, like, are you gonna go to the talks and do stuff during the day, like at the villages and all that stuff, or are you gonna like focus on going to the parties and the events at night? Like,
no one sleeps.
I mean, you could kind of do all the talks and like pick, like, what maybe else? Go to the early parties, like, you know, the first couple of hours of parties, but the thing is the parties go on late, so you can't really do all of it because, yeah, you run out of time.
Well, that's the curse of always getting Jay's badge, is at some point you're like, we got to go get in badge line. And we haven't slept, and
so,
I think we still may be drunk.
Clear this up for me. Is there, in fact, a credit card line that you can wanted to?
It's cash only.
Cash
or is
only.
It really just like, screw you, this is cash
only? No, it's cash only, no pre-registration. If you need to get a receipt for your company, they offer up a PDF printable on the DVD, or you can download it from the site, which you might not want to do.
And the press and the press badges, like the one that Jay's talking about, do they give you the cool, whatever the theme, DEF CON badge is?
Yes,
is
yes.
Just, they do. So they all fit into a theme. There's all an art designer, but for this last time, Jay found this in a tweet and gave us all the word before it actually happened. Like the press badge, the guy that designed it goes TikTok. So DEF CON still is TikTok. They go analog badge, hardware badge. Mm-hmm. This year will be a hardware badge, which will probably be designed by Joe Grand or someone. Last year it was a analog badge that Lost designed, and he does not like press. So, you know, on the press badge, they had the press, you know, with one hand behind the back with the fingers crossed, as I'm going to lie to you. And he always gives, you know, on the DEF CON 101 or on the openings talks, they always, you know, give horror stories about the press and say the press is not your friends and stuff like that. So really carrying a press badge is a little bit of a chip on a shoulder or a target on your back, depending on how you want to look at it. But a lot of people, a lot of the newbies, they're like, oh, that's a different kind of color of badge. I haven't seen that. So it opens some doors, too.
So here's a picture the first year I went. Uh-huh. These are made out of titanium.
Nice.
This is a human badge, and that's a press badge.
It's got to also depend a little bit on the outlet you're for, too. I'm sure if you're there for, you know, the Wall Street Journal or whatever, people are like, well, but if you're there for, you know, Hacker News, Y Combinator or whatever, they're probably a lot more.
Yeah, friendly. And there's people like, you know, Hack 5 shows up, you know, like yeah. the 2,600 people show up, you know.
Ours is going to be there. We're going to have two people there.
The nice thing is that if we wanted to, the press badge, there's not a line for that. You know,
that's yeah. That's kind of the other thing. Right?
It's very nice, and you don't have to pay the whatever the $200 to go to the yeah. con or whatever it is this year. So that's kind of nice. But and also, people are very wary of having their pictures taken, or people not that they don't want their picture taken. It's like they see you with a camera, they feel like they call you out. It's like don't.
But the funny thing is now there's like so many cell phones. And
yeah,
stuff.
I don't like that. I don't
like,
get that.
They still might attack people that have cameras, but there's a ton of people with cell phones like. Just putting the phones up and like recording the lines and stuff, and yeah. nobody
wasn't
says
there
anything
somebody
to them.
Like it was either you or you flicked that was saying there was somebody last year walking around with what looked like a gigantic like aerial.
Oh yeah,
and they were pointing it at people and they were like yelling at other people who were like they were like don't take a picture of me as they were jamming the aerial in your face. To was, your thoughts.
I wanted a picture of this girl is walking around basically okay, with an antenna, a big antenna dressed like some kind of you know apocalyptic you know. Mad Max character with this antenna, this directional antenna that they're basically with headphones on. And
oh, they were probably fox hunting or signal finding.
Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah,
you know,
that's what it was.
But it looked really cool. And I was like, and I did the right thing. I said, do you mind? Can I take your picture? And she said, no.
All right.
Whatever. So, but you have all my credit card information.
Recording your brain waves at the moment on my device.
Flick is right, though. I'll sneak a picture of, like, slides every once in a while that, you know, when they alter the slides or put up a cool demo. But there are just a lot of people just scanning the crowd with phones. So, really, it used to be super anonymous. People get mad because they didn't want people to know that they were there. But now you're recorded.
And every once in a while, you'll see some people walking around with bandanas over their faces and stuff. But that's not,
it's
they're
less
not
and
very
less.
Many
That's
bandanas.
More fashion at this point, I think.
It's more of a, you know, the people that you don't want to know that you're there.
They
are there,
there.
They're there looking at you. They already know.
Do they publish for the slide decks for the talks afterwards?
Yeah, they do. So yeah, they usually do, but sometimes there's a little bit of a lag. So they'll publish like when the call for papers ends, whatever yeah. the submitters do, that's what you get on the DVDs or whatever you get on the media. And then they will do updates. But the main thing is a lot of the live, they do a lot of live demos and a lot of like releasing of tools and things like that. So that's the stuff that doesn't hit until that day. And you know, that's kind of the stuff that I'm always
interested
in. That
was the human badge and the press badge for 1 year.
Yeah, Jay's pulling up, I think, was that DEF CON 20? That wasn't 22. It was the Egyptian theme.
That was 20.
And even within the cards, like even within the human cards, there are a ton of variations within the human badges to where there are different secrets, different encoded things on there, different cutout shapes.
These were actually, you could plug in HDMI, not HDMI, but you could plug in a USB. It had a... They wirelessly interacted with each other. So when they got together, they would start, the lights would change.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, they usually, almost all of them have some kind of serial connection that you can tie into. So the badges immediately talk to you, which is kind of cool. So you can go in and they'll give you clues. Like one of the years you touch different pads or traces on there and it gives you different hints to try to get to the next level.
The puzzle is beyond mind-boggling. There are people that will solve it and I can't even figure out.
Well, it's teams, though. That's the thing. It's like teams, this is one of the things. I guess it used to be hack the badge in a hardware way. Now it kind of became melded with Lost's Mystery Challenge, but there's this huge puzzle surrounded by around the badge, and really teams of like 5 to 7, 8 people come in. That's all they do. They don't really sleep. They may or may not bathe. Hopefully they eat. And eventually someone gets the puzzle by the very end of the weekend. You know, they've worked on it like for 4 days,
well,
5 days
straight.
Well,
the signage for the different tracks and stuff might have clues in there. Or like, you know, the 1 year that they had the binary code in the badge and then the hex code and it was all in the lanyard.
They had a They Live kind of theme one time and they gave red colored glasses and you had to wear these glasses to see hints around the hotel. And actually when you read the book, things would pop out in the red too.
Really?
Which, yeah, do you remember the year we got the red glasses?
I don't think I was there that year. That was
last year.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't last year.
That was
2 years ago.
That was 22.
They're blending together. That was 22. Yes.
You should come.
You should go, Lee.
I can't this year. We're already sending people to DEF CON. We have
just go on your own dime. Show your love.
I don't want to do that. I don't. If I'm gonna go, I want to go as press. Because I want to...
You
want
to go as your press, specific.
I want to go...
You want to go as LA Technology Bites.
You want to go as press that gets paid to be there.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but at the same time...
We'll fund you at the same level we fund ourselves.
Yeah. You know you're not getting paid for this show, right, Lee? The checks aren't late.
Lies,
the checks just
lies.
Aren't coming.
No, I mean, I couldn't even really justify going... even on my own, because we send staff. So right. For like that week, we're already down like the three people that we've sent to DEF CON. I mean, I'd love to go. I think it'd be great. I would guarantee you that I would come out of it. Like I would have to get like a burner phone and a burner laptop because I'm not dumb. I think as far as computer security and OPSEC goes, I'm smarter than the average bear, but I have no doubt that I would do something at some point during those 3 days and screw something up.
Well, a couple
up.
Of years, too, there were just things that you really can't protect against if you're powering up your phones. Like,
yes,
there was a small Apple exploit.
Much.
There's, like, a lot of, like, femtocells or the equivalent of software-defined radios running around posing as cell towers. There's all kinds of stuff that gets you into trouble. Fake ATMs a handful of years ago, supposedly.
I would be. I mean, and my usual mode of operation when I'm out on travel is to SSH tunnel back home before I do anything, even just check email, browse the web, do anything, and I'd be really kind of freaked out that I would be at the same time like connecting to some kind of man in the middle thing, and it would snarf my private key, and like then all of a sudden everybody would have remote access into my thing. You know, I just really
it is billed as the world's most hostile network. It's cool.
Yeah.
They don't do the network talk into the depth that they used to, but I remember one of my first years, they actually had one of the network guys that came up, and he's actually out of, we had Houston Wireless, which is kind of how I found Technology Bites, but there's a larger Pound Wireless channel where all the wireless guys hang out, and the guys that started a lot of the wireless stuff, they're the ones that run the DEF CON network. So they showed, I think, some, they do run some stats, and they run some things like that, and I think at one point there were like 100,000 fake networks up, wireless networks. They just show like all these attacks, like all these numbers, and it's just insane the amount of just beatdown that goes on this network. It's like you really can't connect without just getting bombarded from all sides.
But it's hard to resist.
You know you want to, yeah.
Opening up your Wi-Fi just to see what the names of the access points are.
Right.
Well, at any rate, we're going
to
go ahead.
We'll talk more about DEF CON as it leads up to it. Yeah.
This year is absolutely out, but I would love to go just to do it, just to go once to experience, you know, the smell of the DEF CON crowd.
Oh, we can close the door and crank up the heat in here. Come over here, Lee.
Get a little closer. The air conditioner gave you a taste of it.
Yeah.
One of the published FAQs on DEF CON talks about it's your duty to at least wear deodorant.
The hotel key cards, so everything's encoded, really. Like, so even the key cards you get if you stay in the con hotels have certain things on them and clues on them. And I guess a couple years ago, they actually gave out things that said 3, 2, 1, just to remind people that, hey, you need at least one shower, pretty please. 2 meals and 3 hours of sleep per day, which I think a lot of people weren't paying attention to.
So what are the rules for, like, if you need cash during DEF CON? Should you just use any ATM?
No, I would get it.
Or...
ATMs are probably pretty safe now. But, again, anything that you really want to do, I usually go off-site for. Like, if I want clean Wi-Fi, I'll bounce off-site. I'll get a few miles away from the hotel and do that. But, again, all of Vegas is crawling with hackers, so really no place is safe. I always feel bad for the people that are like, ooh, this is our first time to Vegas. You're getting off the hotel. Like, what are all these people with, black T-shirts doing? I'm like, just disable your Bluetooth, disable your Wi-Fi, don't talk to anybody, and have a good time,
It's amazing. I wanted an ATM and one walked right up.
There's all this free Wi-Fi everywhere. I can't believe it.
Well, one year someone did put an ATM machine out in the middle of the floor.
Oh, yeah. Barnaby Jack came in. It was called, jackpotting the ATMs, and they had a couple that they had stolen to do research on, and they just set them up.
They just stole a couple of ATMs?
Stolen, but procured may be the better term.
Did they just, they had left the cash in them, and if you could hack the ATM, you would get the
prize?
I don't
believe there's any cash in there. I think maybe the card reader may have been active or something, but it is cool, though, and it's not just hacking. There's the whole building track, there's lock picking, there's tamper evidence stuff, there's, just about anything. Beverage cooling contest, there's a DEF CON shoot, to where if you like large caliber guns, you can go out to the desert and go shoot these things.
Oh, yeah, that's like the Vegas
barbecues, there's all sorts of stuff going on.
We should be a little bit more active this year.
Yeah.
I think we missed a few things.
We'll have Emily.
She'll take care of us.
Yes.
Anyway, that's that whole story on DEF CON came off the Emily discussion.
Whee!
All right, so.
If you're going to be there, make sure and look up Jay Lee. You can
do that. If you're
going to
be there, yeah, let us
Houston
know.
Houston has a very good you know, turnout of people show up that are from Houston. It's we represent very well in this.
And we'll put this out there now. We always like to do kind of a post DEF CON geek gathering, or, you know, invite all the different groups to come out, because a lot of people do stuff on Friday nights. So it's like, you know, we go up against TXRX and we go up against 2600. But usually we try and get, you know, that first geek gathering after everyone comes home from DEF CON to come on out. Everyone wears their DEF CON shirts and they bring, you know, the badges they bring. So if you can't go, this is a good chance to go see what the material looks like, see some of the toys that get brought back.
Just
see
what someone smells like after
No one will wash their shirts this year, so we can bring the experience straight to you.
DEF CON's also becoming more and more like Houston all the time. So, you know,
strip centers, strip malls.
Well, the first year I went, it was the first year it was at the Rio. Right, and it was at the Rio a few years, and then last year was the first year that they outgrew the Rio, and so they moved not to one but to two. So now they're like split between Bally's and Paris, right? And so I'd kind of gotten like, okay, you know, Rio, we had certain spots that we hung out that were to meet up and were comfortable, yeah. And then, like, you know, you get to this new location, and it's kind of like Houston. It's just this like sprawling things with like five or six different like central locations, but and so nobody really knows where to meet.
Wherever you happen to be, you need to be somewhere else, and there's traffic jams to get there.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounds like Houston.
It's kind of like, you know, urban sprawl. It's like DEF CON sprawl.
I always end up in the mall at Mandalay. That's kind of my default like Vegas meeting location. If I'm going to meet anybody, it's
we had a pretty
Mandalay.
Good. We had it pretty. Figured out when we were at the Rio.
Well, the Rio's not near anything. It's like
no,
way
it's all
over
in its
by
own
its
little town.
I know,
yeah.
That was the downside of being at the Rio, but the upside
like
of being at the Rio
is like a 30-minute cab ride.
Well, just it's 30 minutes to get a cab. That's the thing, because there's only one cab stand. A lot of pasty guys that don't want to walk in the sun getting out of there. I've hiked out a couple times. Even I'm like, I'm pasty. I shouldn't be out here.
I was gonna walk, but the thing is, they have it split there where that road. And there's no passenger walkway.
No, you have to run across the road carrying electronics.
So you can't really do it. Yeah.
It's treacherous at best.
No, and you end up having to take a black car and paying the $60, and like that's the only way you get out of there.
Well, maybe we'll get to see Donald Trump.
Maybe.
Oh, is he going to be in Vegas?
His hotel is like heavily discounted right now because nobody wants to stay there.
And they're moving the PGA golf thing to Mexico.
Oh.
Away from the Trump golf course that was in the news today. All right. So we dominated much of the second hour of the show with DEF CON talk, which is fine. But we're going to go back to Pete. What's the next segment? Pete? Do we lose him?
Uh-oh.
No, I'm here.
Wow.
In the geek world, we hear about new gadgets and gizmos every day. But can they stand a dip in the snark tank? Well, so enough of this DEF CON Vegas stuff. But if you are going to be in Vegas in August, around, say, August the 4th, there's an activity you can try. If you do well at the slot machines, get there early, or you take your kids' college fund. For $6,500, you can fly in zero gravity with George Takei.
Oh,
that seems
my.
Like a pretty. That seems like a pretty. Seems like a pretty elite thing to do at DEF CON.
$6,500. That's gonna sell out because you actually get to go up in the zero G planes for a whole bunch of parabolas.
Yeah, there's only 20 fans. We'll get to have a weightless experience from zero G and Roddenberry Adventures. $6,500 includes a flight suit, party, photos and videos, plus a meet and greet with Takei himself.
You know, the funny thing about these reduced gravity aircraft flights is I heard a fascinating statistic about them from a former NASA worker. And that's that one third of the people who take these things, you know, you fly in a parabola and they do like 30 or 40 of them in a flight. And each one gives you 15 to 20 seconds of weightlessness. So say about a third of the people that ride these do just fine, have absolutely no problems. Another third of the people who take the rides get pretty queasy and uncomfortable, and it's just not fun. And the remaining one third get violently, like, puketastic.
So if you're up there with two other people, it's not going to end well, statistically speaking.
One of you is going to have a great time until one of you starts like projectile vomiting. Pass. And unfortunately, once you're on that flight, if you do get sick, like the method of dealing with it is, you know, they have like a handler who will try to like keep it clean, and somebody else, basically, they put you in sort of like a sleeping bag and hold you against
press
the wall.
Press you against the wall.
And you just
can't they just give everyone helmets, space helmets, and just let them, you know, go into their own helmets? Yeah.
$6,500.
Live out Apollo 13.
So you could basically pay your...
$6,500 to vomit on George.
$6,500 to fly in space and puke on George.
This is the same day that DEF CON opens. I think we need to go find George Takei. That should be a mission. We need to go find him.
$6,500 to figure out, is George Takei one of the ones who will do fine? One of the ones who's queasy?
Well, and then you've got the whole other thing where I know a lot of people... A lot of people have weak stomachs to where, let's say you're fine, period. You're in that one-third that's fine.
Yeah, but like
what percentage of those?
Yeah,
what percentage of those are going to get queasy just from being around other people that are super queasy?
Yeah,
plus, it's
going to
be floating.
Have sympathy problems.
Yeah, yeah, suddenly I don't think it's worth $6,500 anymore.
Pass.
Yep. Pass.
Okay, well, here's one. You know, there's all the stuff that they've made into movies, you know, video games and that with varying degrees of success and all. But here's one where they brought something that you never thought they could get into the real world, which is a live action playable Pong table. And it is a physical, it's a physical table. It has an actual square ball that moves along like the, if you're familiar with the original kind of TV based video games, and it has rectangular paddles that you turn a knob to move these paddles on either side of the table. So it's kind of like an air hockey table, but it's Pong, and all works mechanically. The paddles are moved mechanically, and the ball glides across the surface thanks to a mechanically manipulated magnet that's underneath the surface. This is one of those things where if you are a crazy rich geek, it would be pretty cool to have, but I have a feeling that the amount of money for the novelty, they might do better like renting this out so you could have it for a few days, and then when you were tired of it, it could go somewhere else.
I don't know. This would look great in my futuristic mansion game room. Totally.
Yes. Right next to your suspended magnet bed.
Yes. Yes.
So there's that. Let's see. Here's one. Frontier Justice coming to social media. Apparently, Periscope, Twitter's live streaming platform, has struggled dealing with, you know, abuse and harassment, especially since comments on Periscope float in real time across the screen, often directly over the broadcaster's face. And a determined troll can easily overtake a live stream with a barrage of nasty remarks. On Tuesday, they rolled out an abuse reporting system that puts content moderation in the hands of so-called flash juries. During a broadcast, if a comment is reported as abusive or spam by one user, other randomly selected viewers of the stream will be shown the comment and asked if they think it's appropriate or inappropriate. If the majority agrees it's abuse, the offending user will receive a 60-second ban from posting further comments. If the same user is reported and convicted a second time in the same broadcast, they lose commenting privileges for the rest of the stream.
I think for what they're trying to filter out, calling it flash anything is just a mistake.
Flash!
The flash jury method has a few benefits over a more traditional review system in which a small team of employees or volunteers examines a queue of flagged comments. For one thing, it happens in context because it's people who are participating. And also, it's quick, you know, so because it doesn't help if the abuse goes on and then after your live stream is over, they tell you, oh, yeah, you know, that was abusive. So maybe the
court system should try this.
Ooh.
What could possibly go wrong?
Just randomly ask 12 jurors that are walking by.
So real quick. I mean, the Pong table thing, Atari, the Atari brand of things. So Atari's actually back as of a few days ago. They're announcing that they're getting into the Internet of Things business. So no more games, but they're going to start to do things that monitor health, lifestyle, home, stuff like
that. But is it really Atari, or is it the bloated corpse of three different dead companies that has inherited or purchased the name Atari?
There could be a little Frankensteining going on, but the main thing is that logo, that Mr. Robot logo, is going to be back with us before we know it. And what could go wrong with fully open Internet of Things devices by a company that hasn't really thought out anything since the 80s?
Absolutely nothing. I see no downside.
I've heard it's actually the cousin part-time drummer of one of the original Ataris who's just touring under that name.
Their first release is the ET monitor.
Which will then be buried
in New Mexico.
And then there'll be a big quest to find them 20 years from now.
It has a built-in cellular modem and can call home for you.
Yeah, the initial product line will include categories such as home, pets, lifestyle, and safety. We'll see.
I just saw a friend of mine's he's been with AT&T in the Wi-Fi department for them for a number of years, and he's just taken a new position in their Internet of Things department. So AT&T.
So this is now, it's eclipsed a buzzword, and mm-hmm. we're actually now, this is happening.
Yeah, my company has Internet of Things division.
It's like free money division.
Internet of Stuff.
I want to start a cloud division. Flix, do you want to come work with me?
No. Sure.
What are we doing?
When you work for the cloud division, you work for other people's companies.
I want to do cloud of things. I'm going to rent an airplane. I'm going to rent an airplane, and I'm going to fly up over the clouds, and I've got things. I'll have all kinds of things, and I'll put them out in the cloud over downtown Houston.
I want to do the Internet of Clouds.
You'll have to pay me. Yeah, I'm going to have the Internet of Clouds.
I said it first. I said it first. You can just pay me royalties. It's okay. Fine.
That's fine.
You can have it licensed.
No, let's do that.
Done.
Well, if you're trying to escape from stuff falling out of the cloud of things, this next device might be worthwhile. Electric bikes seem to be getting cooler. They're getting cooler looking, and they seem to be getting more useful. I think one of the side effects of like better batteries and stuff. This new one's called the Super 73 electric bike. It has a 1,000-watt motor, so it can go over 25 miles per hour. I'm sure that probably it has the little plate that says that you're not allowed to ride it that way on the road. has disc brakes to bring you to a stop safely. It's got 4 3/4-inch wide tires, so real like motorcycle tires, basically. The removable battery pack has 20 miles of range without pedaling, and the thumb throttle and LCD display make it easy to control. It even has a cup holder. Now, isn't that great? So you can bring your drink with you on your bicycle. It has a USB charging port and a variety of colors.
So this is like an electric Harley Davidson from 1901.
Except it's a lot more minimalist. It's like an electric Harley Davidson with nothing in the part where the motor goes.
I'm looking at the picture of where the cup holder is placed, and I think that strategically is a poor decision. I think you hit the brakes on that.
Also, you're just glad to see it.
Do you think that's like in the picture? Do you think that's like hipster root beer, or is that beer?
Red cap that looks like beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell.
Might be beer,
not your dad's root beer. Which are any of those not terrible?
I've yet to have one that just doesn't taste icky on the finish.
They're
yeah,
nasty. Yeah, I've never understood that one. And then and yet you know, the drinking age is 21, and we have what, hard orange soda and
watermelon, you know, Four Loko,
candy cigarettes. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, like,
hey, there's a couple of those orange sodas that are really good.
Is there hard orange now?
Yeah, there is.
And oh,
there's a hard
that.
Ginger ale that's really good too.
Interesting.
Yeah, Smirnoff's been doing it for years.
Just get a Four Loko and an orange crush and
a hotel room for the next 24 hours.
Just man up and drink strawberry daiquiris like every other young drunk.
I will say the last time Barrett encountered Four Loko, he ended up at a Trump hotel.
Oh, wow. Poor life decisions.
Yes, he was on a weightless ride that never ended.
I never even got on G-Force One.
I'm gonna. You know what? You've been avoiding it ever since then.
I have not had one since.
So
then. I think that's
why. I'm gonna buy one and bring it.
Goon Patrol.
Oh, you're gonna goon me? Are you gonna haze? Oh,
is it Four Loko?
Have, like,
the one that's
supposed to coming?
Like makes your heart accelerate.
It's the one that was made illegal for a while. It was.
Yeah, they had
out.
To take the caffeine out because yeah. Because they
it had
got
actual
trouble.
Meth in it or something.
Heart attack in a can.
Well, Barrett's no stranger to.
I mix beer and caffeine, but just never with that much horribly gut wrenching syrup. And, you know, it was just again.
But, you know, but the thing is, like, green. I drank it, right? And then I didn't have the things I wanted to mix together. So I ended up mixing, like, man. It was like some kind of blue Mad Dog and orange juice.
Oh, man.
Why would you do that to yourself?
And it would turn this like snot color consistency.
Great.
And I still did. I still was okay.
I don't need as much sleep as you. Maybe. That might not be true anymore. Yeah, don't goon me. Remember when we were friends before you were goon?
Well, so on the Super 73, if I'm going to spend $1,800 on a bike, it better have a battery and go 25 miles per hour, because I'm not going to spend that kind of money on one that I have to make go 25 miles.
Did you figure out what the 73 is in aid of?
I don't know. Maybe it looks like a bicycle from 1973. It's pretty simple. It's kind of coolly minimalistic. It's kind of like if you had a mini bike frame and you turned it into a bicycle.
So is the battery hidden like in the frame?
Looks like it's under the seat.
The battery's right underneath the seat, kind of just hung where you can.
Although that could be swapped out for jet packs or jets of some sort, I think.
Or you could bring a couple extra batteries and go 60 miles.
For 88
Of course,
miles.
That would take you like seven, that would take you, you know, 2.5 hours or something. But anyway. And then here's one. If you were worried about looking like a dork with a bulky smartwatch, or maybe, you know, the Google Glass thing, never fear. Somebody you'll run into someday with the Backpack VR PC. Apparently, that's a thing now with VR stuff coming out. Somebody thought, well, gosh, why should I be anchored to a desk when I could like build a case? That, and this isn't like just people at home. This is MSI, HP, and Zotac unveiling actual computer models that are backpacks.
I think Barrett already has one of those.
I really kind of want this. Yeah, I've tried to attempt this before, but this is actually it in its, you know, full fruition. This is cool.
So this was at Computex 2016 in Taiwan. They showed off these backpacks.
They have like what? Pepto-Bismol pink water cooling tubes and like flashing lights.
Because that's smart. Yeah, let's carry around some windows, water cool.
Windows in the fans and the fans and windows so you can see inside of it.
I want the MSI one. I will say that.
I guess the tough part is you got to have so much horsepower to make the VR stuff work. You can't just like put a laptop in your backpack and have it power your.
Not yet. Wait two or three more generations.
Well, mine keeps turning off every time I put it in the backpack. I don't understand why.
the other problem with it is, yes, it looks like a backpack, but the entirety of the inside of it is pretty much taken up with device. So it's not like you're going to carry anything extra. You're not going to have extra socks or any of that.
Is it because it requires huge amounts of processing power?
How do you power this? Is it a lot of battery in there, Pete? Did they mention that at all?
Let's see.
If you're already that hot, pounds. Yeah, that's the thing. It says that it's a 7.6-pound device, but I mean, if it's going to be portable, you want to do it for more than like 2 minutes, you're going
to
need
and it gets
some
up to like
battery in there.
120
GTX 980. That's going to have some draw. Back. That's 250 watts. I'm guessing.
The HP Omen 10 is 10 pounds. And it has space for up to 4 hot swappable batteries. It comes with 2, and you can buy 2 more. Each pair of batteries giving users around an hour or so of use.
When powered down.
So this is kind of like, you know, like the original VR goggles that were like huge and didn't really do much.
Now you've got small goggles, but now you've got a huge backpack.
And if you buy all 4 batteries, they give you the Hulk hands and feet that you can put on that weigh 27 pounds so that you can. But yeah, so this is the stuff that guy who told you in the comic book guy's voice that the Apple Watch is just too big and clunky for me is probably going to be waltzing around with one of these and a VR helmet on it. And then speaking of VR helmets, some fringe publication I read this just review kind of comparing the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive.
I don't know, man. I heard the guy that wrote this article is a fine, upstanding person.
He's got some kind of horrible addiction. It's like some sort of he went to what is it? VR? Is that what it would be called?
Instead of going to DEF CON?
Actually, this article Pete's talking about is one I wrote, and it actually reveals in one of the opening paragraphs how much money I've spent on VR so far. It's a large number.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm kind of deep in the hole at this point between PCs and accessories and everything else. But yeah, go ahead, Pete. I'll let you.
If you go to geekradio.com and click that article, you can see the picture of what it looks like at Lee's house.
I want you to wear the full-on Lawnmower Man bodysuit in for next show.
I look like Tron guy gathering. With that on, actually.
Do you have your pockets turned inside out?
No, it's just a unitard with some fiber optics strapped to it.
If you imagine the Tron guy in a sort of Vitruvian Man globe, metal globe, then that's like, no. I figured I'd throw to you, and you know, obviously there's one of the things that's interesting coming up is obviously, you know, there's a lot of choices coming up, and yeah. Oculus Rift has obviously had the early publicity, but it sounds like you felt that the HTC Vive was a better.
So there's three choices. There's PSVR, PlayStation VR, which is not out yet. If you have a PlayStation, that's the one you want because that's the one that's going to work with PlayStation 4. If you're on PC and you don't have a PlayStation, you got to pick if you want to buy into this opening generation of VR between the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. And between those two, the winner, in my opinion, for me, and this round to out the gate is the HTC Vive, and the big differentiator is that the Vive comes with the two touch controllers that are the 3D controllers,
they look
whatever
cool.
They call them. They are cool. You hold them in your hands because here's the deal. Here's what happens when you put. I've done VR demos for tons of people, and here's what happens. You strap them in, you put the headset on, you start the demo. Both the Rift and the Vive have cool like little demo programs you can run, and immediately the first thing. The first thing anybody does, because you're trained to do this as an infant, you do this, is you see something cool on the screen in front of you that looks so incredibly immersive, and you reach your hand out and try to touch it. And if you're wearing the Oculus Rift, there's no touch component. So in real life, you're waving your arms around like a crazy person.
You don't put people in front of walls before demoing the VR, do you?
No comment. I move all the furniture around in the room real quick. But in the HTC Vive, there is a touch. You have two controllers in either hand that are tracked in 3D space, and you reach out with your hand, and you can see generally in the demo your hand then reaching out and grabbing the thing or whatever, and it manifests in different ways in different games. And without you know spending, because we could do this for an hour if you want, we can have a VR show.
Three more minutes, but we should come back.
No, this is the one to get. And unfortunately, it's the more expensive one. But if you are And it's also less comfortable.
Like by a factor of how much?
It's a few hundred bucks more. It's $800 or $900 versus the Rift's $500 or $600. But it comes with the 3D touch controllers. That's what you should, if you are burning to get into the early days of PC VR, like the real ones, not the false starts from the 90s, the one to get right now, in my opinion, is just my opinion, so take that as what it's worth, is the HTC Vive, not the Rift, not yet. Now, later this summer, supposedly, or before the end of the year, the Rift, Oculus will release touch controllers themselves. Maybe that'll level the playing field out a little bit, but I like the Vive. It's the cool VR experience, man.
Or if you just want to humiliate your friends, get the one without the controllers so they can look like Frankenstein's monster with the fireflies and young Frankenstein, you know, kind of batting at the air pathetically.
Waving their hands.
In front of them.
Hey, there we go. Timed that well.
Yay. All
right. Virtually coming to an end.
Geek Gathering.
2808 Mile Limit Drew Cones show up. 7:37. Get there
That's
early.
That's like a few
really
weeks, weeks from
rain,
now.
Rain, shine, or flood.
This Friday.
Free iPhone, smartphone.
Giveaway from
Lee. Yeah, I'll have some Mophie cases to give away.
First come, first serve.
Yeah, there's only like five or six of them. I'm not bringing like a, you know, a carload.
Bring your own bludgeon.
You're not going to 3D print new ones for everybody who shows up?
Yes, but they won't have batteries in them.
All right, well, we're glad you could tune in tonight and join us for another episode of Technology Bites, DEF CON Prep Edition 1.
Cuckoo.
We got to get Groovehouse.
A little lag
to DEF
time
CON.
There.
We need to get Groovehouse to DEF CON.
DEF CON.
Yeah, it's done. He'll go to suitcase. Pelican case.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Brewhouse.
Cuckoo.
This is Alma Vizcarra, KPFT's local election supervisor. This summer, we will hold separate but simultaneous staff and listener elections for half the seats of the local station board. Please consider running for the board to ensure that the needs of the station and our community are met. Candidate nominations open on June 1st and close on June 30th. To run or vote in the upcoming election, you must be a member of KPFT by June 30th. For listeners, this means a donation of at least $25 between July 1st of last year in June 30th of this year, or 3 hours of volunteer station work, or request a hardship waiver. To see the election calendar or download the nomination packet, please visit elections.pacifica.org or call 713-526-4000. 713-526-4000. Your voice and your vote in Pacifica are important. Keep in mind, you must be a member of the station by June 30th in order to participate in the election.
This is KPFT Houston.
Support KPFT by donating your unwanted vehicle. No matter if it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or RV, when you make a donation, your vehicle is resold at an auto auction and the proceeds help to support KPFT programming. To donate your vehicle to KPFT, call 1-855-KPFT-CAR. That's 1-855-573-8227. And your car doesn't always have to be running either, but it does have to have an engine and be towable. And you must be the legal title holder. There's no cost to you, and you help out the station you enjoy with your vehicle donation. Again, to donate your vehicle to KPFT, call 1-855-KPFT-CAR. That's 1-855-573-8227. Thanks for your support. This is KPFT Houston. That's 1-855-573-8227. Thanks for your support. This is KPFT Houston.